Now on BBC Radio 4, we're in frantic fringe mode as we're off to the Pleasance at the Edinburgh Festival, where four fluent contestants try to keep a grip on their subject for a mere 60 seconds.
Welcome to Just a Minute! Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in the British Isles, but from the four corners of the world who listen to us on the World Service. But also, it is my pleasure to welcome our four exciting, dynamic, and diverse guests who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We have three regular players of the game, that is Paul Merton, Clement Freud, and Peter Jones. And also we welcome back somebody who's played it not quite as often as our regulars, and that is Richard Branch. But will you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Jane Gibson, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle with vehemence when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance at the Edinburgh Fringe of 99. And before us, we have an exciting, enthusiastic, dynamic, fringe audience to drive us on our way. And we're going to begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject in front of me is something I do only in Edinburgh. This could be interesting, couldn't it? 60 seconds as usual, and the time starts now.
Staying at the Balmoral and Caledonian hotels is something I do only in Edinburgh, as is watching Hibs and Hearts, Watsonians, Claymores, and racing at Musselburgh, which used to be called Edinburgh Racetrack. The Botanic Garden.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of Edinburgh.
But Edinburgh's on the... Peter, I have to say this because I know you've only been playing with me for 35 years, but...
How long have you been doing the show?
You can repeat the word on the card.
Yes, or I forgot what
phrase,
was on the card.
I know, it's dangerous.
Because I don't have a card, as you do. Otherwise, you'd be lost.
Yeah, that's right. So, Peter, actually, it was an incorrect challenge. So, Clement Freud has a point for that. He keeps the subject. There are 40 seconds available. Something I do only in Edinburgh, starting now.
The suburbs of Morningside and Leith, where Glenmorangie is made to such very good effect. Waverley Station, only 4.5 hours by Great North Eastern Railways from King's Cross in London.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Well, this isn't really about what I only do in Edinburgh. This is just a description of Edinburgh sights and places.
Yes, it's not personalised.
You can't do that in Glasgow, can you?
You can recite Edinburgh place names in Glasgow. You can do it anywhere.
No, he didn't really personalise it enough. I quite agree. Therefore, we call that deviation, Paul, and you have a correct challenge and a point for that, of course. And 25 seconds available. Something I do only in Edinburgh, starting now.
The one thing I only do in Edinburgh is get a pulmonary embolism, which I did in 1987 when I was up, I'm glad you find it funny, when I was up there playing the festival in that year. I'd been playing football with a bunch of people, I fell over, I broke my leg, that then turned into a blood clot that formed in the lung. I also developed hepatitis A.
Clement Freud challenge.
You could do that anywhere.
So far, I've only done it in Edinburgh.
Yes. And I agree with Paul that he's only, so far, it's only happened in Edinburgh.
I haven't done it anywhere else.
Clement, but I enjoyed your comment, and what I do on those occasions, I give a bonus point because the audience enjoyed it as well. So a bonus point for Clement, but Paul Merton was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He keeps the subject, something I do only in Edinburgh, and there are 5 seconds available starting now.
Climbing very slowly up Arthur's Seat is something I do every...
Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point on this occasion. It was Paul Merton, and with the other points in the round, you say the lead over Clement Freud, and the other two have yet to score. Richard Branch, will you take the next round? It is Double Agent. Tell us something about Double Agent in Just a Minute, starting now.
Well, a double agent is obviously the agent who books doubles. That's lookalikes of celebrities. So if someone's organising a garden fete and they'd like to have George Michael there, they phone the double agent who tells them, well, I have no one who resembles that particular singer from the band Wham, but I do have a fantastic Gary Barlow. Would you like him? The answer is no. And so the double agent has the sad task of going to the client's...
Oh, yes, they were living every moment with you. Paul, you have a great challenge. Which was what is your challenge?
Thank you for your psychic decision.
Yes, of course. 29 seconds available on double agent starting now.
Well, of course, it normally means somebody who's spying for the other side. Somebody like, perhaps...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two somebody.
There were two somebody.
Double agent. Two somebody.
Well responded, but not within the rules of just a minute. Double agents with you, Clement, and 22 seconds available, starting now.
Well, it normally means somebody...
Peter Jones challenge.
Repetition of well.
Actually, Peter, he hasn't spoken in this round yet.
No, but he did.
I know. But it was Clement speaking then.
It was?
Yes, it was Clement.
He's disguised his voice.
I know. 19 seconds. Another point to you, Clement, and double agents still with you, starting now.
A double agent occasionally spies for one side and now and again for the other.
Yes. Double challenge.
Full stop.
Full stop. Which we say is a hesitation. So, Paul, you've got in with 11 seconds on double agent, starting now.
You get these very good tablets.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
He didn't say well.
He doesn't always say
yes, he does.
Well. No, he doesn't always say
lately,
well.
He has
as long taken... as you only say it once in a while. Oh, they do love arguing. If they only say it once in a while, it doesn't really matter. So anyway, we enjoyed what you said, Clement. I'll give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed your remark. And Paul, you have a point for being interrupted. 9 seconds. Double agent starting now.
For the dishwasher, which includes a rinsing agent. So as you put this particular merchandise into the machine, it has a dual action. In many ways, it's good.
So Paul Martin was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's just ahead of Clement Freud. He's out in the lead. And Paul Martin, it's your turn to begin as well. The subject, green fingers. I don't know if you are a gardener or not, but tell us something about the subject in this game, starting now.
Gangrene is a terrible thing. It's one of the few diseases I haven't picked up here in Edinburgh. I've had hepatitis to say, I've had blood clot of the lung, and a broken leg, but never the aforementioned illness that I just referred to. What do you mean, which? Is he allowed to do that?
No, of course not.
Is he allowed to ask me questions in the middle of my diatribe? He's ruined me flow there.
They'll do anything to try and get the point. But actually, it was Richard Branch's light who came on first. So, Richard, you're the first to challenge. What's your challenge?
Was there a repetition of illness?
No.
He mentioned illness before, but he didn't mention
in
illness
in another
again.
Round.
Well, I'm wrong then. You're wrong, I know, but you're wrong, but it was nice to hear from you again, Richard, yes. So, Paul still has the subject and another point, and green fingers, and 46 seconds, starting now.
It's a term usually used to describe people who are very good at growing plants. Prince Charles has this reputation. Apparently he talks to his flowers and says to them, come up, buttercup. Spread your beautiful yellow face to the blue sky. Let me see you embrace the rays of the sun. And the aforementioned flower says, oh, you're a bit odd talking to me, aren't you? I am not odd. Indeed, I am...
Oh, right. Clement, yes, you challenge first.
Two odds.
Two odds, yes, Clement. You got in first. 21 seconds. Green fingers starting now.
I do not have green fingers. I'm totally hopeless at gardening, mainly because I don't know one flower from another, with the exception of forget-me-nots, which I recognize instantly and can tell from tulips, rhododendrons, roses.
Poor challenge.
There was a hesitation there.
I don't know any other flowers.
You were making a rod for your own back then, weren't you?
Well,
or should I say trellis?
Rose, yes. And you got your pruny shears out and snipped away in there very rapidly with only 3 seconds to go on the subject of green fingers, Paul, starting now.
If you haven't got a handkerchief and you've got a runny nose, you can often end up...
Well, Paul Merton and Clement Freud both got a lot of points in that round. Paul, the extra one for speakers, the whistle went. Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject, volcano. Can you explode on that subject? With 60 seconds to go, starting now.
No, I can't actually explode. But it doesn't seem a very good subject, really. But...
Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation.
Well,
I think it's a very good subject.
That is a matter of opinion.
It's my opinion.
So he can have an opinion as long as he doesn't hesitate, repeat himself, or deviate. So, an incorrect challenge, Peter. And you have a point for that, of course, which is very exciting. And and you have 54 seconds, which is not so exciting, to keep going on volcano, starting now.
I know Rossellini made a film about Stromboli with Ingrid Bergman, with whom he was living at the time. And they made a kind of movie out of it, but it wasn't, I've repeated, movie once. that nobody was listening.
And you pressed your buzzer and challenged yourself.
Yes, this was very nice.
So that was very well listened, Peter.
Yeah.
Congratulate you on your perception and say that you still have volcano. And you still have 37 seconds, and you start now.
It can be very nasty, because all this lava springs out of the earth, and a lot of red-hot coals, and it pours down the side of the mountain from which it has erupted, and it's not at all pleasant for the people who live there. And there is an island in the South Atlantic, I think it is, isn't it, where they had this experience.
Clement Freud Charles.
Hesitation.
There was a lot of hesitation, I'm afraid.
A lot.
Well, I mean, enough. For a man who hasn't said much on the show, you've won this audience over rapidly. You want him to carry on, do you?
Oh, well, that's a bit... Are we to be ruled by the mob?
Yes. Peter, they want you to continue on volcano for some reason. 16 seconds to go, and you get a point, of course, for that, because the audience decided you should continue. Starting now.
I've been in southern Italy, and on the beaches there are lots of...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
9 seconds, Clement. Volcano, starting now.
There are many disasters in the world, but few have given so much...
Richard Branch's challenge.
Oh, bit mean. Was there a hesitation?
The war. Step away from somebody producing a rope.
I know.
It's a fine line.
Right. Richard, the audience decided that you should go for 5 seconds on volcano with a point, of course, starting now.
In mix?
Some of quarter of a chance.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
Another point to you, Richard. There we are. You have 3 seconds on volcano starting now.
Popocatepetl is the volcano in Mexico, the most wonderful country.
And Richard Branch and Peter Jones have leapt forward with the help of the mob. But they're both equal still in third place.
Good.
And Clement Freud and Paul Merton is still out in the lead. And in case we get letters, I think that film to Stromboli to which you referred was not with Ingrid Bergman. I think it was Anna Magnani. I just mentioned that to save the letters coming in.
Why, you need every letter you can get.
Some letters I welcome, but I wouldn't mention them on this program. Now, Richard, it's your turn to begin. The subject is gizmos. Tell us something about gizmos in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Fantastic devices you can buy these days that do jobs you never needed to do before. For example, in the kitchen, you can get gizmos which peel...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of do.
A minute ago, you were all for him, haven't we? You are the most fickle audience of the day. But it was a correct challenge. Well,
yes, it was.
Yes. Gizmos is with you, Peter Jones. 49 seconds available starting now.
I have no idea what they are.
Richard Barnes is challenged.
Well, then it's deviation, because you can't talk about them if he doesn't know what they are.
Gizmos is back with you, Richard, with another point, and there are 46 seconds available starting now.
The very first gizmo was made by an Italian called Giuseppe Gizmo, and in his workshop at the back of his hacienda, he came up with the thing that did something that no one else had ever dreamed possible. It was a small black box that plugged into the wall, and when you switched it on, it started to flash. Little things came out electronically, aerials, buttons, and still it was uncertain why he'd made the thing. But eventually, everything became clear.
And Paul Merton, you challenge. Yes,
it was hesitation.
Yeah. 17 seconds on gizmos starting now.
I'm quite fond of gizmos. One of the things I've bought recently, which I think is a wonderful invention, is a CD recording machine. It means that you can put a compact disc in it, a blank one, and then record music onto that, and you can give it to people as presents. You can say, here you are. In fact, I think I bought one for Richard for his birthday. I said, here's a lovely CD.
Paul Merton gaining more points, including that one for speaking as the whistle went, has increased his lead over Clement Freud at the end of that round, then Peter Jones and Richard Ranch in that order. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, the twinkle in my eye. Tell us something about the twinkle in my eye in this game, starting now.
Well, I'm so pleased to be up here in Edinburgh playing Just a Minute. Many years ago, when I lived in a bedsit in the 1980s, I used to listen to this programme, and if I'd known then that sometime in the future I would find myself on this distinguished panel playing this marvellous invention, I would have been so happy and pleased. My eye, somebody's watch is bleep. Can you turn your watch off, please? Put me off. And there was a bleep in the audience which I didn't put me off at all, but a twinkle in my eye is still...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of bleep.
This person down here may be a paid agent of Peter Jones.
So, Peter, you got in with the correct challenge. Another point to you. 34 seconds available. The twinkle in my eye starting now.
Well, I think it must be a symptom of yet another disease that poor old Paul has suffered from, usually through coming to Edinburgh, as far as I can understand. He doesn't seem to catch much when he's in London, but then I suppose he's not working very much there.
Richard Ranch challenge.
What?
Bit of hesitation.
Richard Ranch challenge you.
Bit of hesitation. Yes, Richard Ranch, yes. Hello.
Right, Richard, a correct challenge. A point to you and 17 seconds. The twinkle in my eye starting now.
I've known you since you were a twinkle in your father's eye. That's what we say to people who've been with us all our lives. It does imply rather that they were there at the conception. This, of course, is not to be recommended, and the twinkle in someone's eye should not be confused with the eye in someone's twinkle. Which...
Richard Vance kept going to the whistle, gained that extra point for doing so, and I think he was saved by the buzzer or saved by the bell because he couldn't have followed that particular line very easily. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is cellar. Tell us something about cellar. 60 seconds, starting now.
The odds against continuing for 60 seconds on the subject of cellar without somebody interrupting are very long indeed, perhaps 33 to 1. But I will attempt. Cellar is a subterranean room, vault, crypt, dungeon, in which you may keep something as lovely as wine, which can be red or white or pink, still or sparkling, and could come from the Rhone or...
Peter, you've challenged.
Well, he's talking about wine all the time,
well,
instead of...
Yes,
he has, yes. One interpretation of it, yes.
So, Peter, 26 seconds on cellar, starting now.
Well, it can be, as Clement...
very slight hesitation.
Which was rather a drawn-out slight hesitation.
Yeah,
yes. Yes, so 20 seconds for you on Cellar, Paul, starting now.
You may remember that remarkable sequence in Alfred Hitchcock's film Psycho, where the lady runs into the house, runs... I hadn't finished the word. I was saying run. I said runs first time, and I said run the second time. A long run, I admit.
You said runs, and Richard Ranch spotted it and came in very rapidly. Richard, a correct challenge. And you have 11 seconds on Cellar, starting now.
A seller is completely useless unless there's a buyer to buy the thing which he is selling. For example, if I have a used car, I am the seller, and I wish to come across...
So Richard Brandt speaking as the whistle wing gained that extra point. He has moved forward. He's still in fourth place, but only one behind Peter Jones, who's only one behind Clement Freud, and he's a few behind Paul Merton. That is the sequence. And Richard Brandt, your turn to begin. The subject, what this audience needs to know. Having looked at them and heard them, I don't think they need to know anything. They seem to know it all already. But talk on that subject. And 60 seconds are available starting now.
What this audience needs to know is where they can go and get a drink after they've finished watching this recording of Just a Minute. And of course, because we're in the city of Edinburgh, their choice is almost limitless. And furthermore, they will not be thrown out onto the cold streets at 11 o'clock because Scotland has proper licensing laws where we can drink all night, unlike down south of the board.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of drink.
Yes, there was a lot of drink there. Yes. He was keeping going under pressure from the audience, encouraging him and applauding their own city there. Richard, no, it isn't. Richard's lost it. Peter, you've got it, and you have 38 seconds.
I've lost it.
Well, not lost it completely. You've lost the subject. What this audience needs to know, Peter, with you, starting now.
Well, there are at least 200 alternative venues where you can be entertained, apart from coming here. And I strongly advise you to take up one of those invitations. And I think if you just look at the programs and the things that are stuck on walls and the magazine here, which is full of ghastly-looking people, they can be patronized.
Richard Brandt, tell us.
Slight hesitation.
There was, yes, and those ghastly-looking people, and I turned up a picture of Richard Brandt. right. Richard, a correct challenge, and 7 seconds. What this audience needs to know, starting now.
What this audience needs to know is that afterwards we'll all be going back to the hotel and cramming into Nicholas Parsons' jacuzzi. It's an enormous...
So, at the end of that round, Richard Branch, speaking as a whistleman, gained that extra point. And now, it's an interesting situation. Richard Branch, Clement Freud, and Peter Jones are all equal in second place, just behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is eating my words.
Mm.
Interesting subject. Yeah, talk on it if you can, starting now.
I've been guilty on occasions of making rash statements which have proved to be wrong. I remember seeing the Sex Pistols on television in a programme called So It Goes in late 1975, and I predicted very confidently to the associated people in the room, I said, that group are useless and will never get anywhere.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Grammar. That what? Group is useless.
Clement, we've had this before. I know it's deviation from grammar as we understand it, as it is normally written. But in colloquially speaking, spoken English, we often use those sort of phrases.
And that I group don't are. Think...
What's that?
That group are.
Yes.
That's what I said.
That's what he said. And if he's going to go in a colloquial way, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, give you a bonus point for correct challenge, but say, Paul keeps the subject because he can speak colloquially if he wishes. Eating my words is with you, Paul, starting now.
One year I was very hungry and I ate my diary for 1992. And I found that particularly the adjectives were quite chewy, but when you got to the verbs, oh, they were delicious. They could have been cooked beautifully by perhaps one of the finest chefs in the world. The adverb stuck in the back of my throat. But other than that, the vowels were very nice. The consonants gave me a bit of jip, a bit of a funny tummy there. But apart from that, I generally think that eating your words is a very good thing to do, because if you do make these rather over-the-top remarks and you say, I declare this to be the way that things always are and will be forever in time, people can say, well, how do you know? How can you... How, what?
Clement Freud, challenge.
Oh, grammar, was it?
What?
Was it grammar?
No.
Nope. Oh, that makes a change.
Oh, yeah. Four do's.
There were four do's.
Yes.
Clement, you cleverly got in with only 1 second ago.
Oh, no.
Yes. After all your hard work, Paul, it's a vicious game. It's a tough game. Eating my words is with you, Clement, starting now.
Indigestible.
Right. So, at the end of that round, Paul Merton is still in the lead. Clement Freud is catching up on him. The other two are now
a little way behind in third place. That's Peter Jones and Richard Ranch. And we're into the last round. Aww. You've enjoyed it, have you?
Yeah.
Right. Well, enjoy the last round as well, because Peter Jones is going to begin it. And the subject is a lovely Scottish one, Neeps and Tarties. Or tell us something about Neeps and Tarties in this show, if you possibly can, Peter. Right, you've got 60 seconds. Starting now.
Well, I object, because I don't think anybody else in this panel has had two subjects thrown at them at the same time. They're two quite distinct items, and I don't see why I should talk about them. It's just like saying cats and dogs is a subject. How can one possibly discuss that?
Do you want me to answer? Peter, you've challenged yourself again.
Yes. Well, I just it's an objection.
You challenge yourself.
There are a number of very unfair things going on. Clement Freud has a much shorter electric wire to the bell than I have.
But you did actually hesitate, and you were the first one to spot it. And you pressed your buzzer, so you got a correct challenge. And you have 35 seconds available starting now.
Do I have a minute for each one?
You better get moving. Richard Vance, your challenge.
There was a hesitation
there. Was a long hesitation there, yes. Richard Vance, you have a correct challenge. You have 28 seconds on Neeps and Tatties, starting now.
Neeps and Tatties were two of the least successful gladiators on the ITV programme. They didn't quite make it to the televised heats. Of course, the others, like Wolf, made it there, and we didn't really see the full scope of the skills of Neep or Tatty. The merchandising all went to waste, as nobody bought a single item. No baseball caps or shirts or trainers emblazoned with the faces of Neep or Tatty. But of course, Neeps and Tatties are the...
Well, very aptly and very delightfully, Richard Ranch, who's not played the game as much as the other three, brought that round to a close with a resounding round of applause, and also brought the show to a close. And we have a very interesting situation at the end, because Richard Ranch, Clement Freud and Peter Jones are almost equal in second place. Only 1 point separates all three of them, but a few points ahead of all those three is Paul Merton. And so today we say, Paul, you are the winner. Yes. To me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Richard Ranch. We also thank Jane Gibson for blowing her whistle so magnificently. We also thank Ian Messiter, who created the game, and Chris Neal, our producer and director. And we are also most grateful to this delightful fringe audience here at the Pleasance in Edinburgh, who've cheered us on our way so admirably. From them, from our panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons, hope you've enjoyed the show. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us, goodbye.